I'm Josiah Batten with West Virginia for the Gospel. I recently had the opportunity to interview Dr. Norman Geisler, co-founder of Southern Evangelical Seminary and Veritas Evangelical Seminary, author of over 90 books and hundreds of articles, and a scholar in Christian apologetics for the past 60 years. He was a shaper of the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy and has defended inerrancy throughout his career. This interview focuses on apologetics in the first half and on the doctrine of inerrancy specifically in the second half. Thank you for listening, and please check out other resources at West Virginia for the Gospel, www.wv4g.org. So, what is apologetics? When a lot of Christians hear that, they think, you know, we're apologizing, but what is apologetics?
Apologetics means to defend the faith. It comes from 1 Peter 3:15, where Peter said, set apart the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that's in you. That's the word that's translated reason, given apologia. It's a Greek word from which we get our word apologetics.
Okay. What are some of the topics or subjects that apologists or apologetics would address?
Well, we defend all of the attacks, particularly external attacks against the Christian faith. Those that come from science, and that's called scientific apologetics. Those that come from our society, sometimes it's called social apologetics. Those that come from the Bible, biblical apologetics, and so on. So it really has many subfields, and wherever the attacks come from, we're obligated, according to the Bible, to contend for the faith, Jude 3. We're set in defense of the gospel, Philippians 1, 7 says, and we're told in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, so let our speech be always with grace seasoned with salt that we may know how we ought to answer everyone.
Okay. How can particular Christian believers benefit from apologetics?
Well, everybody has questions, and those who have questions need answers, so Christians can benefit because if they let doubts and questions gnaw away at their faith, it'll undermine their faith. So they need to get answers to their questions. So apologetics has a spiritual value in the life of a Christian as well as an evangelistic value. Because when people ask us questions that are obstacles to their becoming believers, if we can give satisfactory answers, then they're on the road to becoming believers.
Right. I understand that you got into apologetics through evangelism. Is that true?
That's correct. They had some very zealous people who discipled us when we were first saved back in 1950, and we went right out after we had become Christians, and we had almost no training. We were getting on a job training, and I was tied in knots by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and then the straw that broke the camel's back was when a drunk staggered up to me in the ghetto of Detroit and said, you're not supposed to be doing this, grabbed my Bible, turned to the page, said I was a graduate of Moody Bible. Well, actually, he said I was a graduate of Moody Insta Bible too. He was drunk, and he grabbed my Bible, turned to the red leather edition of the Gospels, and said, read that. And I read it, and Jesus said, go and tell no man. He said, now get out of here. Jesus doesn't want you to do this. I had no idea what the verse meant. I figured, well, tied up by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and now a drunk ties me up. I better either get answers, or I'm going to have to stop witnessing.
So if there's a local pastor, what could they do for people in their congregation who they're tied up in the same way? How could they equip their congregation apologetically?
Well, they need to be taught before they can teach, obviously. So they need to get some apologetics book. Let's start reading them. If they haven't read any, I recommend as a starter, they get our book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And a lot of unbelievers, atheists, agnostics have actually been saved reading the book, and it covers the whole gamut, you know, from God through Christ and the Bible. also our book, the big book on Christian apologetics, and read it. If you need something on a lay level, get our book, Reasons to Believe. But they need to start reading. I would highly recommend they start reading C.S. Lewis's writings, like Mere Christianity, The Great Divorce, The Problem of Pain. It's because he wrote in such a succinct and readable way, and yet with depth and profundity to it as well. And he just wrote so many things and was probably the greatest apologist of the 20th century, so you don't do badly reading him.
Right. I've heard in the past there, perhaps when you first started apologetics, there wasn't a lot of material available. Has that changed at all over the last 50 years, 60 years?
As a matter of fact, when I started in 1950, there was almost nothing. I think the first book came out later that year by John Carnell on Christian apologetics. That is almost nothing written by contemporary American apologists. There are a few retreads from earlier generations or from, you know, other countries that had written on it, but there was almost nothing. Now we have, you know, hundreds of apologists and multiple hundreds of books on the topic, so we've made great progress.
Great. Throughout your career, particularly, you've ardently defended inerrancy. Could you define what inerrancy is and explain why it's important?
Inerrancy means no error, and it's simply the belief that the Bible has no errors. And it's important because if you deny inerrancy, you're attacking the authenticity of God the Father, because God can't err. The Bible is the Word of God, therefore the Bible can't err. And so if you say there are errors in the Bible, you just said that God Almighty can err. And Jesus, the Son of God, affirmed the inerrancy of the Bible, so you're attacking the authenticity of God the Father and the authority of God the Son, and third, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible is Spirit-uttered words, and the Spirit of truth cannot utter error, therefore the Bible cannot have any error. So to deny inerrancy is an all-out attack on the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it undermines everything we believe, because if you can't trust the Bible as being true, what can you trust? The Bible is the basis for every other Christian doctrine. No matter what you believe about God, about Christ, about salvation, it comes from the Bible. So if the Bible can't be trusted, then the basis for all your other teachings is also brought in challenge.